Blog Talk Radio.
On tomorrow evening,
So if you're going to participate in that, and if you have a lot of background noise, if you would mute yourself. If you are doing the feast and the new moon service, if you will have the grape juice and unleavened bread and a meal as we celebrate the trumpet on tomorrow evening. Tonight I am doing a precept on trumpet, and this, you know, we're going to look kind of in depth at this, not as in depth as I want to. I will probably do this tonight and tomorrow morning, trumpet, because there is a lot to this as I was looking further into it in the scriptures for what the Most High uses trumpets for. And, you know, we're we know that the trumpet announces his arrival, but that's just one reason that he uses trumpets, and the main reason that he uses it is for warning. Okay, forewarning. And so we're going to look at some of this on this evening. But we want to say happy Sabbath to everybody, no matter where you're at, in Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the continent of Africa, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, any communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. This evening we are doing trumpets, and so I would mind that you, you know, I would ask that you get pencil and paper out, because we will be covering a lot of areas. We're going to be spending some time in a few books, but between now and tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning, when we finish this up, we will cover a lot of scripture and a lot of different concepts that are in the scriptures, especially in the book of Revelation. Excuse me, in the book of Revelation, if we can get that far, because trumpet, as I said, it actually relates to more than just one thing, but, you know, mainly to announce the Most High and then for warning in all kind of different situations. Warning, and the Most High uses it for warning, and so we're going to look at these things on this afternoon. I want to say greetings to everybody, and I pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. And once again, happy Sabbath. Feast of Trumpets tomorrow, new moon service tomorrow. Okay, for those of you who are you know, doing ministry with us and are helping with the advertising and things like that, I sent out the presentation, finally figured out what was wrong with it, and sent it out today, so you should have it in your email. Then I put it out on Hebrew Connect. I got some replies from it there. We will go ahead and start this campaign of advertising and promoting the ministry and the Yesharon Farm, and so take a look at it and take a lid on. All right, with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, as we turn toward the east, as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8, and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. The whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father, and we glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee. We extol thee. We bow down and we worship you, O Father. For truly you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And another will we not bow down and give our praise to, Father. Only you, O Yah Elohim, only you will we praise and worship and glorify. For you are the great I am. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Holy hand raised to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear now our supplications and our prayers. Turn your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel, and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they will hear your voice, come, and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for tonight, 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and let us personalize it. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that's not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, then we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemy, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon hath built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, out of the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
House of prayer, a house of prayer.
The watchman is a figurative type of trumpet. It is a man or a woman that the Most High uses to warn the congregation. So we read that in Ezekiel. Okay, and so we're going to read that here in a second, and then we're going to come back to Leviticus, talking about the Feast of Trumpets. And we're talking about trumpets. And for those that are new to the feast days, the Most High has ordained that there are certain days that he said that we as men, as his people, should keep. The Feast of Trumpets is one of them. Okay, and in this month, or this seventh month, we have the Feast of Trumpets, we have the Feast of Tabernacles, and then we have the Day of Atonement. These are feast days, holidays, that the Most High has said that we as people should keep. We don't keep Christmas. We don't keep Halloween. We don't keep, you know, Valentine's Day. We don't keep the New Year's, any of the pagan holidays, because they are not days ordained by the Most High. So the Feast of Trumpets is a feast day that the Most High has said in the book of Leviticus. Go to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to get verses 23 through 25. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 25. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath. A Sabbath is a holiday. So we have a weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And then we have a monthly Sabbath, which is the first day of each month. It's a Sabbath, the new moon. And then we have these yearly Sabbaths, feast days that we keep, all ordained or directed by God. And they're not just for Israel. They are for anyone who is actually following the Most High. Even all Christians, quote-unquote Christians, should be keeping these days and not the pagan holidays. But they choose to keep the pagan holidays and not the feast days of the Most High. They want to say, oh, those were only for Israel. But they weren't. If it's important to the Most High, because these aren't, these, it says, let's see. I'll have to read it to you from another place. But these are the Most High feast days. These are his. These are days that are important to him. So, you know, I just want to say to each and every Christian out there who may be listening that if the days are important to the Most High, then they should be important to you. He gave them to Israel to observe because they were important to him. Not to Israel. They were important to the Most High Elohim. So all quote-unquote Christians these days should be important to, and these are the days that they should keep. So let's start in verse 23 again. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. This is a holy day. You shall do no servile work therein. This so happens that this day falls on Sabbath this year. But the day could fall on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Sunday. Whatever day it falls on, because it is a Sabbath, you're not allowed to do any servile work. You're not allowed to go to work. You're not allowed to do your normal day-to-day stuff. Okay. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices today. So then you are to present yourself that living sacrifice. Okay? But this is a holy day unto him. Go to Numbers chapter 29. The book of Numbers chapter 29. Numbers chapter 29. Verse 1, Numbers 29 and 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing of the trumpet unto you. Now, you might say, why does the Most High want us to blow trumpets as a Sabbath, a feast day, a holiday, but you can't work in this day, okay? Why would he want us to do that? All right, so as I was going through the scriptures to get the answer to this question, why? This has to do, when it comes to the Most High, it has to do with his works, his warning, his arrival. Okay, now Israel used trumpets for many things. They used the trumpets when they walked around Jericho 7 times. And then they blew the trumpets, and all the people hollered at the same time, and the walls came tumbling down. Okay, so you will find trumpets being used for many different things. But when it comes to the Most High and the scriptures, for what he wants us to remember, the memorial blowing of the trumpet, it has to do with his moves, things that he's going to do that affect mankind. So let's go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 19. The book of Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And I want to take some time in here because not only do we see the trumpets being blown, and these, in this case, are heavenly trumpets. These are not trumpets being blown by man in Exodus chapter 19. These are trumpets being blown by angels or something other than man. Okay? Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. In the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come into the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. So they had set up their tents in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So the Most High is giving Moses a message for the children of Israel. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came, so he's telling Israel that if you obey my voice, if you do what I say do, and you keep my covenant, my contract with you, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. This peculiar treasure, this word peculiar in this verse, means extremely special. It's like your most valued possession that you would lock in a vault, put armed guards on, and then lock it in a vault. That's how precious, extremely precious. That's what the word peculiar means. You shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Special above special to me. Okay. A kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You're going to be my priesthood. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. Verse 7. And laid before all these words which Yah Elohim, which Yah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. Now, he hasn't told them other than obey my voice, keep my covenant, and you shall be a peculiar treasure to me. And the people agree to it. They don't know what all they're agreeing to yet. But they say, hey, what we've heard so far, we agree to. Okay? And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. And Yah said unto Moses, lo, Now, you want to start underlining here because there's something very special that is about to happen in Israel, that's about to happen in the earth. And Yah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee. So I want you to understand that the nation of Israel, all these people, this mixed multitude that came out with Moses, they are all going to hear the Most High Elohim speak. They're going to hear him speak to Moses. They're going to hear him speak to them. Okay? So he says, I come unto thee here when I speak with thee and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yah. And Yah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So tell the people to go clean themselves up today and tomorrow. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So the Most High is going to come down, and he's going to speak to Moses and speak to the nation, the people, and they're going to hear his voice. So I want you to put yourself in that position. You are in the wilderness, and you are preparing to hear from the Most High Elohim. You're preparing to hear his voice, literally, and to meet him in as far as he will allow you to meet him. And I'm going to let you see him. I'm going to come down in a thick cloud so that the people can hear when I speak with you, so that they will believe you from here on out, that I speak with you, okay? 10. And Yah said unto Moses, verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people around about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Just for touching this mountain while the Most High is there, you'll be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. You come up to the mountain, but you don't touch the mountain. You don't get on it, and you don't touch it, okay? And if you just touch the mountain where the Most High is standing, where his presence is going to be, you are to be killed. Verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wife. Don't have any relations with your wife. Don't sleep with her once you guys have washed. You know, until the third day, past the third day. Because the third day, you're going to be in the presence of the Most High. And if you have had relationships with your wife, you are unclean. Okay. So they had to be in a clean state. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mountain and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. So now they start to hear this trumpet blowing. Okay. And it's exceeding loud so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, again, this is not a man blowing this trumpet. This is a heavenly angel. This is some heavenly being blowing this trumpet, and it is loud. And it's so loud that the people are afraid. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim. And they stood at the nether, or the far part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, on fire, because Yah descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So when the Most High appeared in this thick cloud, he appeared in his natural form, and I've told you that his natural form is that like of molten lava. And when any man that has ever described him, like Ezekiel, he said that he looked like fire from his waist up and from his waist down. He looked like fire. Here you have a combat that when he's coming down, the whole mountain is on fire. The top of the mountain is on fire, and the smoke is going up from the mountain like a furnace, that hot. And the mountain is actually melting at his presence. Verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet, the trumpet wasn't talking. So when it's saying the voice of the trumpet, it's saying the sound of the trumpet. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, got louder and louder, Moses spake and Elohim answered him by a voice. Now, the trumpet sound is getting louder and louder, and it's announcing the arrival of the Most High. And when it gets to its peak, then Moses speaks, I answer him, okay, by a voice that everybody could hear. All of Israel could hear this, not just Moses, but all of Israel could hear this. And Yah came down upon the Mount Sinai and on the top of the mount, and Yah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Yah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yah today, and many of them perish. Now he's already told Moses to tell the people they can't come up. Don't even touch the mountain or you will die. But Yah knows within people. Now he showed up. You're going to have somebody hard-headed, that's going to try to look through, going to try to come and peek, going to try to do something. So let's continue reading this. And Yah spake unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yah to gaze, and many of them perish. Come near to Yah, sanctify themselves, lest Yah break forth upon them. So don't let any of the people, tell the people, hey, don't come up here, and tell the priests, who are supposed to be sanctifying themselves, to only do what I told them to do, the instructions that I gave them, and don't take them and try to look. At least I break forth on them. Okay. And Moses said unto Yah, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Yah said unto him, away, get thee down. I know what I told you, but I know what's in these people's hearts too. And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Yah, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake with them, unto them. Now Moses, now they heard the Most High call to Moses, okay? Now verse 20, let's go to Exodus 20, starting in 21. Moses has gone back down to the people, okay? Now the Most High is going to start speaking. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What he's about to give them are the Ten Commandments. These are directly from the mouth of the Most High. They are not via the mouth of Moses. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So imagine you're hearing this directly from the mouth of the Most High. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. What he's saying here, he's not saying if you say GD. It's not what he's talking about. This, if you look at the commandments, thou shalt have no other man before me. You should not have a picture of any man or anything in your purse or in your wallet that you look upon or that of me. You should not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, any other man. Let's see. You shall not take the name of Yah. You shall not marry Yah. You shall not enter into a relationship with Yah and take his name in vain and treat it as worthless. This is what that fourth, that third commandment is. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. You're not going to take his name because you are marrying him and you're taking his name when you enter into covenant with him. And so it's like a man and a woman entering into a marriage and the man telling the woman, you're not going to take my name in vain and disrespect me. And be looking at and talking to other men and dating other men and fornicating with other men and committing adultery with other men. That's what this commandment means. You're not going to take my name in vain. For Yahshua will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. You got to understand when you take that name, his name, that you are bound to him. Okay, and you are in a marriage relationship. So you don't go worshiping other gods. You don't tinker around with stuff that worship is involved with the worship of other gods. Then he looks at it as though his wife is cheating on him. So that's what that commandment means. Don't take his name in vain. Don't take his name and disrespect it. So when you come into a relationship with him, you got to understand this is what he's saying. Okay. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath day, and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. It's the Sabbath of Yah. It's not the Sabbath of Israel. It's the Sabbath of the Most High. All of his Sabbaths are his Sabbath. That's why I said there is not a Christian or a believer in Christ and Mashiach, but a believer in the Bible that should be celebrating any other days than what the Most High gave. Celebrating anything else, something that he told you not to celebrate, and it's not associated with him. I don't care what man has done and tried to tie him to it, because you're not to associate with it. Only the days that he gives, because they're his days. Verse 10 again, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yah made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He blessed it and hallowed it. So don't let nobody tell you that you don't have to keep this Sabbath day. You don't have to keep the Sabbath rest, 3rd, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th. Because they're all his. Okay. Honor thy father and thy mother. The Most High really tells us only fear him and fear your father and your mother. To disrespect him was death. And believe it or not, to disrespect your mother or father was death in the eyes of the Most High. and he expected for you to be killed. So he says, when you do anything other than what I say, then you set up your own righteousness. And you set your righteousness over mine, because this is what I have said. So he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which Yahweh Elohim giveth thee. Now, I know what he's meaning by that now, because it's not just to give you a long life, but if you disrespect your parents, you're supposed to be killed. You weren't supposed to have a long life on the land. If you hit your mother or your father, if you cuss them, curse them, then the Most High said it was a death penalty, a death sentence for that child. That's his commandment and his judgment. 13, thou shalt not kill. And really that reads in the Hebrew, thou shalt not murder. Because there's a time to kill, there's a time to kill, but there is never a time to murder. Okay, to take a life unjustly, without provocation. So you see somebody walking down the street and you just don't like how they look and you kill them. That's murder. They don't do that. But if somebody's breaking into your house and you are defending yourself, then that's not murder. You kill them, but it's not murder. Self-defense. Okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That means to have, really, people don't understand that adultery is really when you have a change of heart towards your spouse. And you put them away, and you're not supposed to. But see, you don't go and see somebody else unless you have had a change of heart, which is a form of adultery. Now again, Messiah made stipulation on this, that a man was not to put away his wife for any reason other than fornication, that she went outside the marriage. That's the only reason that you can put her away. Other than that, he says, hey, you put her away for anything other than that, then you, man, are an adulterer. And if she gets put away for any reason, a wife, then she's an adulterer. Appeal. Straight up. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Not supposed to covet it. Don't want what other people have. And I know people who look at other people and be like, they know everything that's going on in those people's house. And, you know, want to do things like they do it or have what they have. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed afar off. They got scared. Oh. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. So from that point on, the Most High didn't speak with them directly anymore. That his fear may be before your face, that you might fear him, that you sin not. That's why he says the fear of him is the beginning of all wisdom. If you don't have a fear of the Most High, you will sin. If you're not afraid of what will happen, you will sin. That's why you have to teach your children from the time that they're coming up, the fear of him, so that they don't sin. That's why he says that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and brought Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where Elohim was. And Yah said unto Moses, thus from heaven. You shall not make with me Elohims of silver, neither shall you make unto you Elohims of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto you, and I will bless you. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn or cut stone. For if thou lift up the tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by the steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. So in this case, we have the trumpet being blown, and it starts off blowing very loud, and it gets louder and louder and louder. But it's announcing the arrival of the Most High. Okay, and he's coming to speak with the people, and he's coming to give them his 10 instructions. And he's coming so that they know that he speaks with Moses, so that they don't doubt him ever. But that they might have a fear of him, that they might not sin. So this is the whole reason for the visitation, but this is announced with the trumpet, announcing royalty, announcing the arrival of the Most High Elohim. Now, you're going to see this in the future, because the scripture says that Messiah descends with the trump, with the trump of Elohim. And so we're going to see this again in the future, when Messiah returns. The trumpet is going to announce his arrival. We don't know when that trumpet's going to blow, but it's going to be heard worldwide. And so if it can be heard worldwide from where it's coming from, you know that it's going to be extremely loud. And people are going to become very afraid. Just at the sound of the trumpet. Because it's going to be a trumpet blast that is worthy of the Most High. If you have a trumpet that sounds arrives, when a king arrives, just imagine what you're going to hear when the Most High arrives. That's where they get that from. So when the Most High arrives, it's going to be so loud that it's going to scare people. It's going to scare Israel. And they did not want to talk to the Most High after that. No, Moses, you go talk to him, and we'll hear from you, but let us not hear from Elohim, lest we die. Go to Psalm 81. Blow up the trumpet, 81:3. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast. Now, we're going to be celebrating the new moon on tomorrow evening, but it also is the Feast of Trumpets tomorrow evening, because the Feast of Trumpets falls on the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the month is a new moon, so we will be celebrating the new moon and the Feast of Trumpets at the same time. On our solemn feast day, for this was a statute to Israel, for Israel, and the law of the Elohim of Jacob. Now, we've read in Leviticus and in Numbers that you're supposed to blow the trumpet for the Feast of Trumpets. but then the Feast of Trumpets, as I'm trying to show you, that feast day has to do with the arrival of the Most High, that we're to do this in the first day of the seventh month. This is probably when he will come back, when Messiah will return. This is probably when the seventh trumpet in Revelation is going to sound. The trumpet in the day of Yah. Before we go to the day of Yah, because we'll be spending a lot of time in the day of Yah, the day of the Lord, there is a lot in this. So there's going to be trumpet blowing. And the trumpet is a sign for us. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. The book of Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now, this is talking about the watchman, okay? And the watchman is equated to a trumpet, all right? The watchman that's on the wall is supposed to be watching out for the people. In this case, this is the analogy. The watchman up on the wall is supposed to warn if the enemy's going to attack. And then everyone, when they hear the watchman blow the trumpet, then they're supposed to either prepare or be ready to get out. You know, they're supposed to do something. So let's read this. Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 1. Again, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. In other words, you have a borderline, and in this case, it's usually the coastline where somebody coming by sea, or it is some high cliff that you can see down over a large valley where you can see the enemy coming, okay? And this person is the watchman. He's looking for to be the warning if you get attacked, the first warning, so he can blow the trumpet, do something to alert the people. If when he gets the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. So he's blowing the trumpet, this watchman is blowing the trumpet to warn the people. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, whoso hears it and don't, you know, take it seriously. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Why? Because you blew the warning, you blew the trumpet, and they didn't listen. So their blood is on their own head. If they got killed by the sword, that's their fault. If they got taken prisoner, that's their fault. Because they didn't listen. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Now he's using this natural occurrence to equate it to the prophet giving warning. Okay. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So I'm going to blame the watchman. This person is going to go away. They might be taken captive in their sin. But I'm going to blame their blood, if they're killed, on the watchman because he didn't warn them. This is the same way for a pastor or a teacher. a preacher if they don't tell the people the truth and warn them, hey, you are in sin. Don't tell them. Every one of them, the Most High is going to put the blood of that pastor, that teacher, on them. Every one of them that ends up going to the lake. That's on you, buddy. You didn't tell them. Okay? So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You're going to hear the word from my mouth. I'm coming to judge. I'm coming to destroy them. I'm coming with the sword. And you better warn them about me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Because you didn't warn him. I told you to tell him, and you didn't warn him. Oh, no. Most I want you all to be blessed. You don't really care. If you sin, just confess your sin. And if you know that you're doing wrong, it's okay. Just go ahead and do it and then confess it, and he will forgive you. Those are lies. And the blood of all those pastors that are teaching people that, the blood of all those people is going to be on their heads. The prophet is the trumpet. And they're supposed to be warning the people against transgressing against the Most High. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn away from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If I don't tell you, the Most High will hold me accountable. Throw me in the lake for not telling you. But if I tell you, then I save myself from the lake. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus is be upon us, and we pine away in them. How would we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Most I said, you know, I'll kill you, but I don't take no pleasure in it. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore the Son of Man said unto the children of thy people, the righteous of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. For the wickedness of the wicked he shall not fall thereby in that day, in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. See, when we try to say we are righteous and then we walk in sin, we walk in some sort of sin, the Most High says, all of your righteousness is forgotten. Just like he says, if you're wicked and you stop doing wickedness, you turn away from it, all your wickedness is forgotten. So let's read this. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. So you got to turn away from your iniquity when the trumpet is blown to you. And then do righteousness. Always. Because if you sin again, all of the righteousness you did will be undone. The people try to justify themselves. Oh, you know, I did this right, and I only did a little wickedness. Most I said that little wickedness you did undid all of your righteousness. But if you do wickedness, if that was your way, and you turn from doing wickedness unto righteousness and do always righteousness from that point, Moses said, I won't remember any of your sins. Because you have turned to do rightful, to do righteousness, to do that which is lawful. And see, the law is important. Yet the children of Israel say, the way of Yah is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Unrighteousness, and you die in it, you die in a state of unrighteousness, not in a state of, oh, I was righteous, I did some wickedness, and the Most High says, now you're wicked. Yet you say the way of Yah is not equal. O you house of Israel, I will judge every one of you after his way. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Okay, let's stop there. So understand that the trumpet is not always a literal trumpet. It can be a man or a woman of the Most High who is warning you or telling you to stop doing what you're doing. And they're warning you against the Most High coming into your life. And they are trumpeting, stop, stop, stop what you're doing. God's going to get you. You got to understand that the trumpet in the words is not always a literal trumpet. So when we read some of these verses, we got to also ask the Most High to give us discernment, whether this is a literal trumpet or whether it's a warning being given. And it's equated to a trumpet. Continue, verse 21. Start looking at the trumpet in the day of Yah. Because the day of Yah is going to start with a trumpet sound. That's why we keep the Feast of Trumpets. It's to remind us. It's to get us used to sensitize and used to hearing the trumpet and reacting to the trumpet so that we know what to do when we hear it. If we're alive when the Most High returns, when Messiah returns, we hear the trumpet, we know what's going on. We know what is about to happen. Because it's being used as a warning. It's being used as a warning, then it's going to be used as an announcement of his arrival. Go to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to get chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, what last trumpet is what you got to ask yourself. These are the seven trumpets in Revelation. Seven trumpets that are blown in Revelation. A lot going on between the sixth and the seventh trump. And at the start of the the trumpet sound of the seven trumpets. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, these are not every Christian. This is not everybody that believed in Messiah. This is everybody that believed and suffered with him. They're going to get up at this trumpet. Just understand that. You don't get to come and sit on your hands and you know, just try to remain saved. But you don't, you're not willing to lay down your life. You're not willing to suffer with Messiah for this. Okay? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortality shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us the victory through our Master and Yeshua HaMashiach. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Yah. That's why you have to be in this thing with your whole heart. You have to be willing to give your all, even unto the giving of your life. You gotta be that committed. And you'll qualify for this resurrection, the first resurrection. When the trumpet blows, the last trump blows, all those who are in Mashiach, but suffered with him, will get up. Go to 1 Thessalonians. But as we know from previous studies, you get up during the second resurrection. And you adjust according to your work. And then if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you enter into eternal bliss. But if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you go into the lake of fire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yah shall not prevent them which are asleep. So just because we're alive, we're not going to prevent those that are asleep from being called or resurrected. For Yah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim. And the dead in Mashiach shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet Yah in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yah. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, again, if you are here when the trumpet blows and Messiah, the Most High, returns, you will qualify. If you got killed because of the mark of the beast, you will qualify. If you got killed for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Messiah, you will qualify for this resurrection. If not, then you qualify for the second. So there's only a few times in history where you can even qualify for the first resurrection. All through history, if you suffer for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Mashiach, or if you don't take the mark of the beast during that time period, then you will have done the same thing that Mashiach did. You will have suffered with him. If you are alive at the time of Antichrist, and Antichrist is going to persecute the saints, he's going to kill some of the saints, he's going to imprison some of the saints, he's going to have you in fear of your life. And if you withstand him, if you don't try to save your life, then you will qualify. Because when people read these verses, not in conjunction with all the other verses, they think everybody that believes in Messiah will resurrect at that time, but that's not true. There are other scriptures that modify these scriptures. When the last trump blows, the seventh angel. So we're going to look at those things. Now, go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The book of Revelation, chapter 3. We're going to get verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of Elohim. Underline the seven spirits of Elohim, the seven spirits of God. And the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But we want to know who these seven spirits are. Go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Because we're looking for the trump of Elohim, the voice of the archangel, those that stand before the throne of the Most High. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunders and voices, and there were the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. These lamps that it's equating to and burning with fire, we're going to find out who they are. Does this get complex? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. The book of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. Beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. So here's the sacrificial lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim, sent forth into all the earth. Go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before Elohim. They're known as the seven lamps. They are symbolized by the lamb with the seven horns and seven eyes. They are symbolized by the seven spirits of Elohim. I saw the seven angels who stood before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, each of these seven angels that are given these trumpets, they stand before Elohim. They are the seven spirits that are before him. These are the archangels. They stand in the presence of the Most High. Drop down to verse 6. Revelation chapter 8, starting in verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves the first angel sounded. Now, we also, since we're in this, we want to pay close attention to what each of these what happens when each of these angels. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of all the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So I want you to imagine in your neighborhood alone if all the trees were on fire and if all of the grass was on fire. Let's say a third part. We won't say all of the trees, a third part of the trees. What impact on the environment do you think that would have? Now, put that on a global scale. A third part, you know, when California is burning alone, and not the whole state is burning, just, you know, they might have 30 or 40 or 50 fires going on at one time. They might have a huge one going on, and the smoke from those fires starts to cause the atmosphere around to darken. Now imagine if a third of all the trees in the world are on fire and everything that is up under a tree, the grass and the brush and all that stuff is on fire. It will start to darken out the sun. It'll start to make it seem like in the daytime like it ain't day. Okay. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and it's as if it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ship was destroyed. So something's going to happen in the ocean. And a third of all the life, a third of all the life in the ocean will die. A third of everything. And a third of all the ships that float on the ocean will be destroyed. We know that's coming. It hasn't happened yet. But it's coming. Now, all of these things are done call men to repentance. But they're not going to give the Most High glory. They're not going to give him the credit. They're going to come up with some natural explanation for why these things are happening. And if you are not in tune to the Spirit, then you won't be able to see this. You'll believe what man says. When a third of all the trees in the world are on fire. That's going to take an extreme drought. A global drought. And all the green grass. Then a third of all the animals in the sea are going to die. We get a lot of our food from the sea. A lot of the world eats everything, just about everything from the sea. What I mean by that, there ain't nothing that they consider unclean. Whether it's shrimp or squid or lobster or octopus or everything that the Most High says, we're not supposed to eat. Somebody in the world is eating it. Now imagine a third of everything, the clean and the unclean, gone. People are going to be out there, the commercial fishers are going to be out there and be like, hey, we're just not catching like we used to. And they're already coming up on that. It's going to be announced by a trumpet. verse 10. And a third angel sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon a third part of the fountain. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. It's going to be something that falls from the heavens to the earth. It's going to poison a third of all the water. Fresh water. We don't care about really salt water because we don't drink salt water. We can desalinate salt water, but we're worried about the what? Fresh water. And a third part of all the water on the earth will be poisoned. It says, and many men will die because of it. Because you can't go without water. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, blew his trumpet, and the third part of the sun was smitten. In other words, the sun is going to be one-third less bright than it is. The moon will be one-third less bright. And I really do believe this will be from those fires. And the third part of the stars. Everything in the sky, in other words, will be a third part brighter. Third part dimmer. So if you got all this smoke going up from the trees burning, and they start to fill the atmosphere, and you start having some volcanoes go off, and now the sun is a third part as bright as it used to be, the moon, everything in the night sky, everything in the sky. Do you know that that will lower the temperature of the planet? And so it might be winter and summertime. And just a deeper winter in wintertime. I think in 1700 and something, I have to go look it up again. In the late 1700s or mid 1700s, there was a volcano on the earth that went off. A super volcano went off. And the clouds, the volcanic ash cloud from that volcano circled the earth. And it circled in the northern hemisphere. And for 3 years, they had like winter. In the summertime, July, it was snowing. Because the earth wasn't getting the sun that it normally gets. The sun was still shining, but it wasn't coming through that volcanic ash. But I already know what would happen if this happens, and this is talking about being on a way greater scale than just that volcano. But I think it only blocked out 2 or 3% of the sun, and it's talking about a third, 33%. So you'd be talking about in July it being 20 or 30 below zero in places where it should be 90, 100 degrees. And so what is going to be in those areas where it's usually cold? It's going to be even colder. If it used to get to 50 below, it'll be 110 below. People wouldn't be able to survive that. But they're going to sweat. Climate change. They're going to say it's caused by these disasters, but they're never going to give the credit to the Most High. They'll come up with some type of scientific explanation. Okay? So that's the fourth angel. The 3:12 again. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not as for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So if the day is cut off by a third, let's sort of figure that out. If in the summertime we have the longest day is about 12 hours, 13 hours, and you take a third of that, which is about 4 hours, then the day would be only about 8 hours. But then if you take that in the wintertime, when the shortest day of the year is about 8 or 9 hours, and cut that down by another 3 hours, and the day is only 6 hours or 5 hours, and then it's night again. The night becomes a third longer, and the day a third shorter. We have more nighttime than we have daytime. Sounds like Alaska when it's going through its winter. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels sound. So he said, hey, warning to everybody on the earth, because there's other angels, the three other angels that need to blow their trumpet. So you think you got it bad now, wait till they sound. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, blew his trumpet. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This star is an angel. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. So here goes some more stuff up in the atmosphere. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So now we got the trees on fire, we got the grass on fire, and I really do believe that this is equating to a volcano. Now, Yellowstone National Park, I think there are what they call 5 super volcanoes in the world. Yellowstone is one of the bigger ones. Yellowstone is like 70 miles, the mouth of the volcano is like 70 miles across. You could, if you were on the ground, you couldn't tell that you were in a volcano. Excuse me. So that volcano is overdue to erupt at any time. Yellowstone. Last time it erupted was like, they said, 65 million years ago, and it erupts like every 600 million years ago, and it erupts like every 600 million years. But you go look that up to get, you know, the time frame. But it is overdue. So I'm sure the Most High is going to use it when that goes off. It will plunge the earth into another ice age. They know that. Into an ice age, where you have the glaciers coming down from the North Pole and being a mile thick all the way down through New York and Chicago and Minneapolis and probably a little bit further south than that, being a mile thick, mile high, nothing but ice. But that also means that water in the ocean, water, will have to go into that ice. So the sea level will drop. Now, if you ever watch any National Geographic programs, then you know that there are cities that are under the sea. And what's so bad about it, those cities are more advanced than the cities that are on ground right now, besides the modern age. But there's some cities underwater that have some things in them, some architecture in them that we can't do today. So all that stuff would be uncovered again. And the world as we know it would change. And the Most High said he's going to cause this to happen. The bottomless pit with the smoke coming up out of it. It's going to darken the sun and the air. I really do believe that's a volcano. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now these locusts, I think I read this in Joel. We'll have to go read Joel, because Joel gives another account of this, of these locusts, okay, looking like horses. And running like horses, being loud. You know, this is what's coming is these aren't small bugs. These are big bugs. Smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. And as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. They ain't coming to eat green grass. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Elohim in their forehead. If you're not sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, when this happens, these locusts will know it. And they will sting you. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to make you wish you were dead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Swell up. Be bloated, wish you were dead. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it. Now, you know what this kind of reminds me of? You should go research on the Black Widow spider. Not saying that these things look like a Black Widow. I'm saying that this effect that these locusts are going to have when they sting people. Anybody that gets bit by a Black Widow spider, and you can only be bit by a Black Widow spider twice in your life. You're going to be bit once. The second time it bites you, it'll kill you. Okay, a Black Widow. You can only be bitten once in your life. There is no anti-venom. And the poison that's in the Black Widow's bite doesn't leave your body. So your body just sort of gets over the pain, but the venom is still in your body. It don't leave. If you get bit again, it will kill you. But the bite of the Black Widow, such that you wish you were dead. Anybody that has ever been bitten by one, for the time that they are in pain, and it's for some days, they wish they were dead. Because the pain is that excruciating. And so the Most High is saying, men shall seek death and shall not find it. You're going to want to die and can't die. Let's read about these locusts, and then we will call it a night. We'll pick it up in the morning. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared for battle. These locusts look like horses. and on their head were as it were a crown of gold. So they're going to have a gold-colored head. And their faces were as the faces of men. Looked like a man. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. What kind of locust is this? Big like a horse, and we know that horses have hair, a mane like a woman's hair, or at least a white woman's hair at least. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had a breastplate, as it were the breastplate of iron. In other words, it would be hard to kill them. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were things in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So these things are going to come up out of that smoke, out of that volcano. And it really sounds like these are something prehistoric, something that's been buried in, or dormant in the earth. Man hasn't discovered it yet, or it's so deep man can't discover it, or it's on reserve for the Most High. To be grasshoppers that get to be a foot long, a grasshopper. So some locusts that are huge, the size of a horse, that's what's going to come up out of this bottomless pit. And they're not going to kill men, but they're going to make them wish they were dead. We'll pick this up on tomorrow morning. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, as we come up to celebrate your Feast of Trumpets, and it is a holy feast day, it's a holy convocation, we are to remind ourselves of your arrival, of the trumpets announcing your arrival, Father, and how terrible that will be. And it's going to announce your day, the day that when you come back, you say it's going to be considered the day, your day, the day that you take out your vengeance. And this is not just a single day, but it runs across years, 7 years at the max, 3.5 years at a minimum. So, Father, if we are here during that time, Father, we ask always for your protection. We ask for your favor. We ask for the prayer that is in Joel, that you might pass by us and leave us a meal offering to show that we have favor with you. Father, let us not be deceived. We know that these are the latter days and these times are not far off. And we can see it in the weather. We can see it in the plague. That your return is not far off. You would not know, and you would come without warning when you would actually come back. So when we hear that trumpet, it is too late. Father, remove the scales from our eyes. Unblock our ears. Allow us to see that we might be prepared. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we're going to pick this up in the AM. The Feast of Trumpets, is to remind us of the arrival of the Most High, to remind us that's what the feast is all about, remind us of his return and the judgments to come, to warn us. If we see what we're reading here in Revelation, ain't nothing nice about none of this stuff in Revelation. Suffer to those that are sealed. Those that are sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. then we know that we are in safety. But if we don't have the Ruach, those locusts, the poison water, the trees on fire, the grass on fire, all of that is going to affect us. Yah is able to protect his. He's able to protect his own. And he will protect his own. And then there's a time that he's going to give it over to the Antichrist. If you are here, you're going to have to fight for your life. He's going to give Antichrist power over us to see who will take the mark and who won't. Who really loves them and who doesn't? Who loves their own life more? That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, prayerfully in the morning, may the Most High bless you and keep you, and keep you safe from all hurt, seen and unseen. Shalom, saints. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and remember to fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Yahuwah. Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Have a blessed evening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
I will. Thank you, and you too.
All right. Be blessed.